Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. Back when I was in high school, my family traveled to Houston for my cousin's wedding. And after a great weekend of celebration, it was time for us to go back home. And so my mom's sister and I, we were in one car together. My dad was actually with my grandparents in another car. And so as we traveled back home, as people often do, we stopped at a gas station. And so I was actually asleep in the front seat. My mom and my sister, they got out to go into the gas station to use the restroom. But because I was sleeping in the front seat, the events that transpired next, I can take absolutely no blame for. All right, so something you should know, the vehicle that we were in, it was a minivan. So I was asleep in the front seat. My sister had been studying for a test all the way in the back seat. And so when my mom returned to the car, she saw me sleeping in the front seat, and for whatever reason, she assumed that my sister was lying down studying in the back seat. She was not. She was still in the restroom. But believing that she had both of her kids in the vehicle with her, my mom started the car, and we pulled out of the gas station. My sister had been forgotten and left behind. Now, long story short, eventually my mom did realize the mistake, probably about 20 minutes after we left the gas station. She realized her mistake, and we turned around and went back to pick my sister up. So we're in a series right now titled Choose, Which Will You Worship? In fact, today we're wrapping up this series. Next Sunday, we're going to launch into our Advent series leading up to Christmas. And so let me just challenge you as we move into the Advent season, begin inviting your friends, begin inviting your family. This is a time of year where people are usually receptive to an invitation. So invite them to join you next Sunday as we launch into our Advent series. Now, if you remember, the series that we're in right now, the title of the series comes from Joshua 24:15. So before we go any further, let me just remind you of this call that we see in this verse one last time. It says, "But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord." And then in this is really a call for the people to turn from the false gods of their parents, to turn from the false gods of their land, that they might know and worship the one true God. Now, over the last few weeks, I've talked about a few of the false gods that we see in our land today, the false god of money, the false god of religion, and what I said last week, I believe to be the biggest false god that we face in this world, the false god of self. Now, as we think about these false gods, I've said this for a few weeks now, I'll say it one more time, we must recognize these false gods that we might turn from these false gods. Now, another way to say this would be to say, like my sister, we need to forget about them and leave them behind. Now, this is not to say that my sister was a false god. All right, we're very happy that we went back to go pick her up. At least my parents are. But when it comes to these false gods, we need to forget about them. We need to leave them behind. And unlike my sister, we don't ever need to go back to them. We don't ever need to pick them back up. We must forget about them and leave them behind. This is really the call that we see from Joshua. Joshua says, you can worship the false gods of your parents, you can worship the false gods of your land, but really he's calling the people to make the same decision that he and his family made. As for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. He is calling them to turn from these false gods, to leave these false gods behind, and to never pick them back up, that they might worship the one true God. And this is the same call that we have today. The same choice is before us today. We can choose to worship the false gods of our parents. We can choose to worship the false gods of our land, or we can choose to turn from these false gods. We can choose to forget about them, leave them behind, that we might know and worship the one true God. But the choice is still ours to make. So choose, which will you worship? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 this morning. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 7. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. Before we get to chapter 32 in the book of Exodus, really towards the beginning of the book of Exodus, we see God call Moses to lead the people of Israel and to go to Pharaoh in Egypt, to command Pharaoh to let the people go, to release them from captivity. But as we see, Pharaoh refuses to do so. And so the people of Israel, they get to see God's mighty hand at work. They get to see some miraculous signs as God sends plagues upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. So then what we see is that Pharaoh releases the people of Israel. But then after releasing the people of Israel, Pharaoh decides to send his armies out after them. And so once again, the people of Israel, they get to see God's mighty hand at work as he parts the Red Sea, and as the Israelites are able to cross safely, and then as the Egyptian armies are completely destroyed. Now, the events of our passage in chapter 32, they actually coincide with Moses up on Mount Sinai as he's receiving the Ten Commandments on those stone tablets. Now, it's important to note, because I don't think that we usually highlight all of the details of this story, but it's important to note that this is not the first time that Moses has gone up this mountain to receive a message from the Lord and to bring it back to the people. In fact, up until this point, we've seen Moses actually go up and come back down the mountain about five times. And prior to Moses going up the mountain on this occasion, the people have just heard God speak in a loud and a thunderous way. And it was so overwhelming for the people that they actually asked Moses, can you just go up the mountain and meet with God privately and then just come back and tell us what he has to say for us? So at this point, here in Exodus 32, I think it's safe to say that the people knew the one true God to be real. They knew him to be a God that had a heart for his people, and they knew him to be someone worthy of their worship. In other words, they were not short on this call to know and to worship the one true God. And I want you to hear me today. We also are not short on the call to know and to worship the one true God. In fact, we have something greater than what the Israelites had, because at our point in history, God has revealed himself in the greatest way possible in becoming a man, in living a perfect and blameless life so that he could be that perfect and blameless sacrifice for us and going to the cross. He did go to the cross. He died for our sins and he rose again. And if we put our faith in him, we have the promise of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. Jesus Christ is our greatest call to know and to worship the one true God. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. He's the image of God in flesh. He's spoken about in his word, and he is testified about by the heavens. So we also are not short on the call to know and worship the one true God. And so to reject the one true God and to turn our hearts over, to give our worship over to a false God, it doesn't happen because we are short on being called to worship the one true God. It simply comes from a heart and an attitude of rebellion. And this is true for the people of Israel as well. So our passage this morning is going to be familiar to many of you. It's a passage that we begin learning even as a young child in our Sunday school classes or in our growth groups. It's the story of the Israelites building a golden calf to worship. So with that in mind, let's turn our attention now to Exodus 32, verses 1 through 7. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, come make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron replied to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made it into an image of a calf. Then they said, "Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of it and made an announcement, "There will be a festival to the Lord tomorrow." Early the next morning, they arose, offered burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people you brought up from the land of Egypt have acted corruptly." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting, going back to those words that we see there in verse 1. In verse 1, it says, "When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, 'Come make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.'" So there are a couple of things that I would point out from this verse. The first thing that I would point out is that we must recognize how easy it is to give ourselves over to false gods. We must recognize how easy it is to give ourselves over to false gods. Moses had only been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And while this is the longest length of time that Moses had ever been away from the people of Israel since he began leading them, the reality is that it was only a little more than a month. They felt like Moses had been gone for a really long time, but it really hadn't been that long at all, only 40 days. And so I want you to see this. It didn't take 10 years for the people to turn from the one true God to begin worshiping a false god. It didn't take 1 year for the people to turn from the one true God to begin worshiping a false god. It didn't even take 6 months for the people to turn from the one true God to begin worshiping a false god. It only took 1 month and 1 day. After a little more than a month, they were already asking Aaron to make for them a false god that they could bow down and worship. So we must recognize how easy it is to give ourselves over to false gods so that we ourselves can be alert, so that we might guard our hearts and guard our minds, that we wouldn't turn our focus away from the one true God, that we wouldn't remove our hearts from the one true God, that we would begin to give our hearts and our attention over to the false gods of our land or the false gods of our parents. We want to guard our hearts that we might continue to worship the one true God. But the second thing that I want you to see is that we must remember how we are to live in our waiting. Remember, the people of Israel, they begin to do all of this as they're waiting for Moses to return down the mountain. And they felt like, man, he sure is taking a long time. Now, we aren't waiting for Moses to return, but we are waiting for Jesus to return. Remember, after Jesus died on the cross and after he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and there's a promise that one day he is going to come back. One day he's going to return. This time he's not going to return as a baby in a manger. He's going to come riding on the clouds, and this time he's not going to come as our sacrifice. This time he's going to come as our ever-reigning king. But just as the Israelites felt about Moses, we might feel like, man, it sure is taking a long time for Jesus to return. After all, Jesus ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago. It's been 2,000 years since he made that promise that he was going to return. We could feel like he sure is taking a long time. Now, it may feel like a long time to us, but in reality, 2,000 years in the grand scheme of eternity, 2,000 years or even 10,000 years is just a drop in the bucket for God. And so the question is not, is Jesus taking a long time to return? The question is, how are we to live in our waiting? And so this is where I want to tie this back into our vision for this year, because this is really what we've been talking about since this year started. How do we live as we await Christ's return? How are we to live in our waiting? So let me just remind you of this vision that we've been talking about this year, that we would be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. This is how we're to live as we await Christ's return, regardless of how long we might feel like it's taking him. Until Christ returns, we are to be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. We are to be faithful. The Israelites, they were not faithful in their waiting. And so after only 40 days, they're ready to turn from the one true God. They're ready to build for themselves this false god, a golden calf, that they might worship something other than the one true God. And so as we wrap up this series, there's three more truths that I want you to walk away with today as we think about turning from false gods that we might know and worship the one true God. The first truth I want you to see this morning is that we cannot fashion God into an image we desire. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "He took the gold from them, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made it into an image of a calf." We cannot fashion God into an image we desire. So the image of a calf or the image of a bull was actually a very familiar one to the people of Israel because of their time in captivity in Egypt. The bull was actually among the false gods that the Egyptians worshipped. It was a symbol of both strength and fertility. And so in fashioning a god for themselves in this image of a calf, really what they were doing was building for themselves a god that they were comfortable with. Now, we may not fashion for ourselves a god made out of gold or a golden calf, but many times people in our world, or maybe even sometimes people in the church, try to fashion for themselves a god that they are comfortable with. And so in creating a god that we're comfortable with, many times the world will create a god that's completely loving but has absolutely no judgment and zero righteousness. Or he sees all of the good that we do, but he ignores all of the sin that we live in, so that we can continue to live in our sin, continue to live however we want to, maintain whatever lifestyle we desire. It's a God that we might be comfortable with, but it's not the one true God of Scripture. It is a false God, because the one true God is a God of both love and justice. The one true God is a God of both forgiveness and wrath. We see God's love and wrath both displayed perfectly in the cross. Because when Jesus died on that cross, his love was displayed for all of mankind, but his wrath was poured out on his Son for our sake. God is a God of both love and justice, forgiveness and wrath. He's certainly a God who loves his people, but he's also a God that does not tolerate sin. This has been true since the very beginning of time, and this is still true of the one true God today. And so I want you to hear me. We must not create a God that we are comfortable with. We must get comfortable with the truth of the one true God. In other words, we need to look at who the one true God is according to Scripture, and get comfortable with and submit to the God that Scripture describes for us, not a God that we fashion for ourselves. We must not create a God that we're comfortable with. We must get comfortable with the truth of the one true God. So we can't fashion a God. We can't fashion God into an image we desire. Second, we cannot worship false gods and the one true God. Let's look at verse 5 again. It says, "When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of it and made an announcement, 'There will be a festival to the Lord tomorrow.'" We cannot worship false gods and the one true God. So as Aaron sees this calf that he has built, this golden calf that he has created, he builds an altar in front of it so that people can bow down to worship this calf, so that they can offer sacrifices to this calf. But then he says, there's going to be a festival to the Lord tomorrow. And the word that Aaron uses there for Lord is the name of the one true God. He uses the name Yahweh. So he says, here's this false god that we're going to bow down to worship, but in bowing down and worshiping this false god, we're still going to worship the one true God. In other words, Aaron was really telling the people that they could do both. So this may be kind of a silly illustration, but back in 2003, a movie by the name of Radio came out with Cuba Gooding Jr. And in this movie, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character is sitting at a diner, and the waitress comes over and asks if he'd like a slice of peach pie or blackberry pie. And Radio responds with a line that I still quote to Sarah today. He says, "Both, I like both." I think many times this is what we try to do with false gods. Instead of turning away from our false gods to worship the one true God, we say we like both. We want to have both. And so we cling to our false gods and we worship our false gods while also trying to worship the one true God. But I want you to hear me today. We can't do both. We can't worship the false gods of our parents. We can't worship the false gods of our land and still worship the one true God. We have to either reject one to have the other. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:24, talking about the false god of money. He said, "No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and money. We can't do both. And while Jesus was specifically talking about the false god of money, the reality is that this is true for any false god that we might have in our life. Whether it's the false god of money, the false god of religion, the false god of sexuality, success, or self, we cannot serve two masters. We will either worship our false gods or we will worship the one true God. We can't do both. So we cannot worship false gods and the one true God. Finally, this morning, we cannot let false gods remain in our lives. Let's look at verse 7 again. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Go down at once, for your people you brought up from the land of Egypt have acted corruptly.'" We cannot let false gods remain in our lives. I want you to hear the urgency in God's command to Moses. As soon as the Israelites create for themselves this false god to bow down to, God says to Moses, "You need to go down there at once. This must be addressed at once." You see, God takes false gods seriously. God takes idol worship seriously to the point that the very first two commands that he gives are to turn away from false gods, to turn away from idol worship. Because God knows that ultimately when we give ourselves over to any of these other things, ultimately those things lead to death. But he and he alone is the one that can provide true and eternal life for us. And so God sends Moses down the mountain with great urgency. And I want you to know there is still great urgency in addressing false gods. If you have a false god in your life, if there's something that you are bowing down to, submitting to, that you are worshiping above the one true God, then it is something that we are not to take lightly. It's something that you do not need to take lightly. Don't allow it to remain in your life another day. Rather, what you need to do is to forget about it, leave it behind, and never go back to it. There is still great urgency in addressing false gods. And so Moses went down the mountain with urgency to address this false god, and I want you to see what he says over in verse 26. Verse 26, we're told that Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." Once again, Moses uses the name Yahweh, the name of the one true God. And so really what Moses is saying is similar to what Joshua said to the people. You can either worship the false gods or you can worship the one true God. He puts the choice before them. "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And just as Moses gave the choice to the people and just as Joshua gave the choice to the people, the choice is still ours today. Will we choose to worship the false gods of our parents? Will we choose to worship the false gods of this land? Or will we choose to know and to worship the one true God? The choice is still ours to make. The choice is still yours to make. So choose, which will you worship? And if you've never chosen to worship the one true God by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, just as we do every week, we're going to have a time of response. This is going to be your chance to respond to the Lord this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, I've never given my life to Christ, I've never surrendered to Jesus as my Lord, but today I recognize that He is the only one that can give me life, that all of these other things that I might turn to are doing nothing for me. So I want to turn to Jesus that I might be forgiven, that I might be redeemed, that I might have that eternal life in Him. If you want to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, as we sing this song, I would invite you to respond. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, there was a point in my life that I gave my life to Christ, but you know what, as I've grown over the years, I have turned my life over to many other things. And today I need to turn away from those things, to turn back to the one true God. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well this morning. You can recommit, rededicate your life to Christ. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess Jesus Christ as Lord. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something God calls every single believer to do. We've got a baptism in this service next Sunday. But if you need to get baptized, if you need to make your faith in Christ public, then let's make that commitment this morning. I would invite you to respond as well. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church, Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to come alongside this church body, to join this church on mission here in Stockdale and around the world. If that's you, if God's calling you to become a member of this church body, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.